Welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Corey Stanton. I'm in the KVNF Bamboo Room with Rushad Eggleston. Where are you from?
I was born in between Carmel, California and Big Sur, California, in a redwood cabin in a redwood forest.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. I love that area.
Nice place to come into the world.
Yeah.
Just a mile from the beach.
Do you make it back there?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Yeah. I was living there for the last, 10 years.
Okay.
Something like that.
How'd you end up in Western Colorado?
I was summoned.
By whom?
Well, by Rob Miller of Pickin Productions. But in a larger sense, perhaps it was a mystical summoning that was using Rob as a conduit.
Yeah. And so I got to see you last night in Ridgeway.
Oh, you did. That's right. You did with your hat.
You were out there dancing and leaping and the kids were loving you. And
Yeah.
It was a good time.
It was fluffy times in the sun there. Mm-hmm. All over the place, physically and musically, I suppose.
Yeah.
A guy requested Bach, so I made a compromise where I could bounce the Bach.
So that wasn't planned?
That was not planned, no. Much of the show was not planned. When you get in a situation like that and it's outdoors and, you're wearing a hot suit and then suddenly the sun's on you and then maybe there's some sound problems, you have to be able to adapt to the situation. Mm-hmm. And there's an old guy with a beard that's yelling for Bach like he needs to hear it or he's going to die. And so, you got to sometimes perform life-saving maneuvers of that kind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I loved it. I actually love Bach.
Oh, very nice. So, I like Bach too. I mean, Bach's great. It's a crystalline expression of pure musical thought.
How did you get into music?
When I was only 3 years old, my mother started me on the violin. But apparently I was standing up and conducting and identifying Beethoven and stuff like that before that. So she was like, we need to get him violin lessons. So I had violin lessons for about 5 years and I entered some contests and did all right. And then I switched to the cello when I was 8 and continued my classical studies and was kind of coerced into going to these really epic long music camps in the summer, classical music stuff. I was the youngest kid. I was like 10, 11, and 12, and it took up my whole summer. And I had to study. I had to be in orchestra for 2 hours, and then music theory, and then like chamber music, and then private lessons, and then more orchestra, and then concerts all night. It was intense. But I wasn't really connected to music in particular then. It was just something that I had to do before I went and played baseball or soccer or golf or tennis or whatever I liked to do. But when I was 12, there became a guitar around, and I started playing it, and I heard AC/DC and Nirvana and Guns N' Roses and Metallica in particular, and I started teaching myself, and it was very liberating because I was like, wow, I can make music on my own with my own rules, and I don't have to study with anybody and listen to them, tell me what to do and whatever. So that's when I became a musician.
At 12.
Yeah. And then when I was 13, I decided that that's what I was going to do for my life, no matter what else happened. And I would start burning all other bridges. And the first thing in my way was high school. And so I wrote a long letter to my parents about the invasiveness of homework. And then they found this equivalency test for me. And I got to get out of high school and just stay at home and practice all day, which was awesome. And then I got a scholarship to college and then went to college and studied music. And then it's been just a wild ride ever since. Mm-hmm.
Did you take any guitar classes?
At Berkeley, no, I didn't. I was like strictly a cello player there. I felt I had so much work to do on the cello that it took up all my time. I mean, I pretty much lived in the practice room out there. But I've always been, guitar is like my fun instrument that I play to take a break from the cello and stuff.
Yeah. Tell me about your cello. Describe it for our listeners because you've got, well, first of all, it looks very old and like you've played it for lifetimes.
Yes.
And then if you look up at the neck.
The scroll. Where the pegs are.
Yes.
The tuning pegs.
There's items. Describe these items.
The items, well, there is there's a plastic kazoo, and then there's a metal kazoo, and then there's a wood kazoo covered in barnacles, kind of faux barnacles. It's like a nautical themed kazoo that someone just gave me. And then there's a bamboo kazoo that I got from a traveling kazoo salesman in Portland, Oregon, but it's kind of broken right now. Here's the bamboo kazoo. Here's the wood nautical themed kazoo. Here's the metal kazoo. And here's the plastic kazoo. Yeah.
And when did you learn? How old were you when you learned the kazoo?
The kazoo is not something you learn as much as you just feel into it. You just hum into it and it converts your voice into a transcendently beautiful musical instrument. at least in my opinion, when I play the kazoo, I feel like I'm flying.
Wow.
Usually. It's a very visceral experience, especially when you're playing the cello at the same time, you know, and you have... You know, you get them going together, and then you can make them do the same rhythm, or they can play the same licks, like... Or harmony, like... Basically, the kazoo is such an easy instrument because it's you're just singing, you know? So, which means because your throat is so close to your brain, in my opinion, you can just think and the kazoo comes out. And the cello is, I've played it, you know, for a long time, so it's kind of just part of me. I can also think into the cello. It just kind of is on autopilot mm-hmm. in a lot of ways.
Do you have some songs for us today?
Oh, for sure.
Cool.
I could do any number of songs.
Okay.
And any style of songs. Gosh, there's a lot of songs that I have. And let's see. I guess the first one that comes to mind is a new one of mine called Asnunga, which is a kind of a rap metal song. Rap metal is a weird way to describe it because it won't sound like Linkin Park or anything. I mean, it's just me playing the cello and I'll just let the music speak for itself. Okay, so this one involves a repeating riff that I keep playing under the singing, even though it's a different rhythm. And then in the chorus, it goes into the double time bounce, which is really fun to do. And it's like being a caribou running across the plains. And the thing is that I'm pretty sure that music is the type of vessel by which you can travel into the mind of a caribou and actually feel exactly what it's like for them to be racing across the plains. You know, it's fortunate that we get to experience that, you know. Here we go. A snunga, a bark locks funga, a drum jug ricks ux blocks blunga, but jackwa. The fim foth fact was snoga mix, horse rumba bill, bash to thakwa, snout. It be foo for mocks, blink the toad snout. Pick a fifth over myth pout. Stimmy days, bork, booga, troad, snade. Gimme licky liz, bork, blame yas, wow. Papakta, for fam both lucked up. A dark dracket tape until gox cut to banam bitch. For folk fox vamp bitch, ill sneaky bilger on the drop drox dramp bitch snout. It be foo for mocks, blink a toad snout. Pick a fifth over myth pout. Snimmy days, bork, booga, troad, snade. Gimme licky liz, bork, blame ya. Thon Hezemon's horse, non ogre lied, poofer side. Fuga Mitch nor quiet ride up a foo fight, get along, loach slide. Goose back, Nemeron, foo ikatundies. Babundies, have a labo licky lundies, marsh non jugaron, jet on a Monday. Two path, from frocks on a freak bath, two gath to laugh at a cactable milgovich. Mark Strong, Strogomich, Drake von Vilgovich, bad block, toad sock, Mervias Benilgich, oos pack, a foom foos, fact but juice, crack loose deck, hegger wild low, puff a noose, jack snout. It be foo for mocks, blink a toad snout. Pick a fifth over myth pout. Stimmy days, bork, booga, troad, snade. Gimme licky liz, bork, bling. There you go. That one's fun to play. It's like complicated.
What is that one called?
Asnunga. Asnunga. And that's mostly in my mythical language of Sneth, which is one of the ways in which the infinite faucet of whatever it is comes out. It comes to me in either melodies or in words, or sometimes in cello riffs and rhythms, you know?
Yeah, I was going to ask what language that was.
That is the language of Sneth. It's a sonic language, untranslatable forever, mm-hmm. you know?
Is it always the same?
When I sing the song?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I sing the song, I would sing the exact same words.
Okay.
Yeah. A snunga, a barklox funga, a drim drogerix, uxblox blunga, bajakwa, fafim foth fakwa, snogomix horzeron babil batch to thakwa. I really liked that one.
Yeah.
You know, there's some that just feel really good to write. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, when most people speak nonsense, they're like, oh, goo goo gaga or like a blah 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 or something. You know, they say these really basic things. But when I'm writing words, it seems like they come out with like different letters and consonants and different sounds in a way that, you know, when you look at the totality of it, is somehow satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you always sing in Sneth?
No, sometimes I sing in English.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I have a couple lyrics in French, but mainly English, yeah.
And the land of Sneth, you said, is this a place?
It's a mythical land.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, it exists pretty hard. I mean, in the sense that nobody can prove that it doesn't exist. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's not a single scientist out there that could prove that the land of Sneth doesn't exist. And it does exist because I say it exists, and I have the gateway to the land of Sneth, and that is a great blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Where do you find inspiration for your music?
I grew up in some very mystical forests, as we were talking about before, and I feel like the forest has influenced me a lot. It's kind of mischievous, dark, but very beautiful lyrical qualities, and hills, California, and all that, you know, I mean, in an abstract sense. But then in a more literal sense, I mean, I've been into all kinds of music. For the last couple of years, I've mainly, I should say, listened to death metal.
Yeah, there was a song last night that I was like, whoa, Rage Against the Machine.
Oh.
But you also played this song about existentialism.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was curious what inspired that song, and also what are your favorite lyrics from that song?
It says, lost in the storm, looking for something to do. Do I exist, or am I just a colorful void? I think that would be one of my favorite lyrics in the song. But the other one is because then it gets positive at the end, because it says, so lost in the maze, it's amazing how real it can feel, like 100-foot walls, but they're walls I can trample on when I zoom out, I see the maze is just art on a rug, and the rug burns not too bad when you're flying on a magical carpet to Sneth.
Oh, wow.
You see? Yeah. I mean, I experience that a lot of times with darkness and depression and whatever, especially in the post-divorce times that I'm living in now. You know, sometimes your problems can feel so real, like literally like 100-foot walls, and you just can't see past them. And then somehow something cool happens, or you zoom out for a second, and then you see it was just a rug. It's just an illusion,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
It's just some fancy like 3D, like those advertisements that they have on soccer fields now that are actually 2D, but they look 3D. So that's what I hope it really is, you know? I'd like to think that life is meant to be joyful and fluffy.
Yeah, that would be nice. Do you hope that your music inspires people?
Yes, of course. Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can you play that existential song? I think it's called Sneth Metal.
Oh, yeah, I could play that song. That's a good one. That's a dense one. It's another metal number. See if I can.
Lost in the storm, looking for something to do. Do I exist, or am I just a colorful void? Avoiding all work, cause all I want to do is play. Fast and wild, galloping metals of Sneth, Sneth metals going down. It's a way of life and a personal crown. And if you don't like it, I don't care, cause it's my upside down cross to bear. And besides, I'm already famous in the land of Sneth. Wow. Life gets real weird I don't think I understand much. So much is obscured. Mystery's hidden in pain. Painting me black, but black's the new color of fun. The only thing that makes sense, at least to a jestery goblin of Sneth, Sneth Mantles going down. It's a way of life and a personal crown. And if you don't like it, I don't care, cause it's my upside down cross to bear. And besides, I'm already famous in the land of Sneth. I don't wanna be a man. Men have to own houses and fix stuff all the time. I just wanna hide in my room and Sneth Metal all day. And maybe go and find a few shows when I run out of cash. And if my pile of cash dries up, I won't get sad anymore. Cause I know I've got gold saved up. I just have to knock on the door at the bank of Sneth Metal. So lost in the maze, it's amazing how real it can feel. Like 100-foot walls, but they're walls I can trample on. When I zoom out, I see the maze is just art and a rug. And the rubber's not too bad when you're flying on a magical carpet to Sneth, Sneth Mantles going down. It's a way of life and a personal crown. And if you don't like it, I don't care, cause it's my upside down cross to bear. And besides, I'm already famous in the land of Sneth.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. That was a song called Sneth Metal by Rushad Eggleston.
All right.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. A lot of stuff to keep going there. Yeah. But that's what I was working on all winter. I was taking, and it was a cool thing to experience because, you know, for years and years I've said, oh, you know, music is my salvation and the cello could get me through anything. I kept almost bragging about that, you know, and then anything happened, which was getting divorced, and it was a darker time than I could have imagined. So I was like, all right, it's time to walk the walk after all that talk I'd been talking. And indeed, taking the dark energy and those feelings and then funneling them through the cello and playing heavy riffs and making up, you know, existentialist numbers and stuff, it really did feel like it got me through the darkness in that it turned it into something productive. Not only was it pain relieving at the time and numbed me while I was playing, I wasn't thinking about all that stuff, but at the end of the session, I would have a new song or a new riff, or I had evolved my technique further. And it was a really good few months of cello progress and songs progress. I made up a lot of songs this winter, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you playing faster now than you ever have before?
Yes, definitely.
You illustrated, maybe you can do it for us here so our listeners can kind of, they can't see how quickly your hand and wrist is moving, but maybe we can like talk them through it. You played at one level, mm-hmm. and then you doubled it, and then you tripled it.
Oh, right. I think it was when at the beginning of the show, maybe when I was showing that bass line or something.
And something about a fish.
Oh, yeah. That was the wiggle bounce. So that's just a different method of bouncing. I mean, so normally you'd just be going back and forth with the bow. But because of the nature of the bow, it's like nylon hairs. Most people use horse hairs, but I use nylon hairs so they don't break. And it works out nicely for being vegan also.
Yeah.
Anyways, so most people going like that, but you can get it to skip so that you do with one hand motion, you play this and then that goes to your right. And then when you go to your left, you get another one. And then through years of timing it, you can put them together and move this circle with your wrist. So you get, And then you could... And then you can just tighten up your hand and it turns into triplets, right? So you're going along and you... There's four. And then the... And then that's getting three notes per hand motion. So it's very economical. I like to describe it like you're on a lake and you're skipping a rock. But it's not just any random number of skips. You're skipping it precisely two times. You really dial it in. But then it doesn't just disappear into the lake. What happens is this like giant slimy fish jumps up, catches the rock in its mouth, and like barfs it back to you with two perfect skips. And then you catch it right on the beat and throw it back to the fish. And then you and this fish just play this game for probably all eternity. Only earth stuckness prevents you from seeing the actual ongoing infinity of that game.
Well, it's very impressive.
That's cool. It's a new thing, I guess. You know, in classical music, there's a little bit of a precedent for, it's called ricochet bowing.
Okay.
You know, because it ricochets. You know, in the famous piece, you do that a little bit. That gallop is actually getting two notes for the price of one. Then what I've done is turned it into two notes followed by another two notes, and then all the combos in between, because you can go two and one and then you get a triplet. So you get two moving to the right and then one moving to the left, and that turns into like... Some sauce on the end there.
Yeah. You used to be in a folk band called Crooked Still.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're solo now.
Mm-hmm.
What's that transition been like?
Well, it was a long time from there to here, in that I left the band in 2007, and then I went solo, and then for a while I had a band called the Butt Wizards, which fell apart in pieces for various reasons. And then I went solo for a second. And I had this tour of Denmark that I was supposed to be joined by this guy that played drums and keyboard at the same time. He's a real French freak, a really cool dude named Gabby. But I invited my girlfriend at the time to be in the band, and he got pissed about that because it was Valentine's Day. And I was like, I don't know. Basically, I blew it, and he was like, I'm out of here. And so then I had to do this tour of Denmark by myself with a language barrier, and I wasn't very experienced in playing solo then. And playing solo is actually really hard because you're up there just like kind of getting roasted by everyone's eyes and the time going by. And so I had some really rough solo gigs, and I'm like, I'm never doing that again. So I called up two of my friends, a drummer and a bass player, and we got a band together called Tornado Rider, which was kind of, we called it frog metal. It was really loud. I played like a beater cello through a Marshall stack, and we had sang songs about like, here, let me go.
I am the goat god 9 feet high, sitting on the fence with the goat god pie. 'Cause I'm the goat god!
You know, and it was that kind of, it was like loud and rowdy and party time. And we went to Florida a lot, and everyone was drinking, and like they were spraying beer on us. And I would do a lot of crowd surfing and hanging upside down from stuff. It was a wild 4 or 5 years there. But through that, I really learned how to like own it on the stage and be a front man and hype it up and like, you know, really leave it all out there in a way. Mm-hmm. So after that, solo felt pretty nice because then there was nobody to deal with, and I could play whatever my newest songs. You know, we didn't have to practice anything with a band, you know. And then that was like the end of 2012 that I started doing solo stuff. And so I guess that's been almost
7 years.
It's almost 7 years of solo, yeah. And I still play with the band Tornado Rider sometimes. It's really fun. Especially last night when I got up there to sit in with Le Poul à Collant. And I remember what it was like to be up there in the lights at night with a huge crowd of people dancing. That's something that you don't really experience that much solo, you know. Solo is more kind of like an intimate, like mystical journey, whereas like having a band is like party time. And, you know, the way that people look at you up there, it's a powerful feeling for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'm done experiencing that. There's like a whole continent of me to explore, really. You know, there's like total party time, and there's like total clown time. And then there's like weird, obscure stuff in my own language and whatever they like to do. But then I write a lot of instrumental music, and I have a few pieces for orchestra and stuff. I wrote a string quartet a couple years ago. I play a lot of like bluegrass and fiddle music and Irish music, even with people, folk music. So who knows? I'm just trying to flow into being able to express all the different modalities eventually, you know?
Mm-hmm. How do you envision your music evolving?
Wow, that's a really good question. Hopefully in my older age, some type of grand wizardry. I hope that, you know, my technical situation on the cello keeps evolving for my whole life so that by the time I'm like 75, I'll really be like kicking ass. I mean, if you saw the progress I made in the last 6 years compared to like the 10 years before that or something, it's ramping up now. So as long as I have time to practice and I don't get forced into a situation where I would be required to do the same stuff all the time, and I avoid those situations like the plague. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it'll keep evolving on a cello level. And then I kind of like want to write some musicals and big pieces for orchestra and stuff like that. I like the idea of conducting an orchestra while I'm playing the cello, you know? And so it's like a cello concerto, but kind of like flipped in a way.
Has that ever been done before?
I don't know. I've done it a little bit. In a cello concerto, the orchestra plays the background part and the cello plays the melody, you know, and kind of shreds on the like... But in my version of the cello concerto, I would be doing stuff like... And then the orchestra would have the melody... kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Or be flipped around. And then I feel like when you kind of like banging on the walls of genre and whatever, sometimes you have to invent a new form, you know? It's not like the concerto always existed. It's not like musicals always existed or operas always existed. Somebody had to invent them because whatever was available at the time was a little bit too limiting for their vision. So they had to invent a new form. So if I have to invent a new thing that's somewhere in between a concerto and an opera and a musical and a rock show, I don't know. Maybe I will.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'll just cruise around and keep writing songs and playing a bunch of shows and delighting the people in the locale of wherever I am. And hopefully technology will be such that every show can be live streamed, because it's nice to be able to reach, you know, a large amount of people. Here also, I draw a lot of cartoons and I have some friends that do animation. And so I'm trying to get those going where it can be like a representation of like pure Sneth. Not so human involved, but where it's just like the little bats and dragons and the characters from the land of Sneth with Snethy music on top of it, you know?
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Where can people find your music?
Yeah, you know, I have most of the music that I've recorded, probably about 85% of it, is up on my Bandcamp page, and it's all downloadable for free. That's rushad.bandcamp.com.
Yeah.
www.rushad.bandcamp.com. And they can get that. It has a lot of stuff. It has some Sneth metal type of numbers. And then it has from like 2002 through 4, I was recording all stuff on 4-track with acoustic guitar and mandolin and cellos and some vocals. But it's very much more whimsical. And it's before like my life got more fiery and burnt and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's more pure Sneth music and less earth. That one's called The Mystical 4-Track Recordings of Snee. I think it has like 54 songs on volume 1 and like 35 songs on volume 2.
Wow.
So there's like a lot of stuff up there, you know?
Yeah.
And not saying it's good or anything, that's subjective, but definitely going to my Bandcamp.
What's the general reaction from audiences? Are they getting it? Are they, like you said, you feel kind of like they're roasting you with their eyes. Do you ever get haters?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, sometimes, like, one dude came up to me one time and was like, man, that was just way too many beeping notes, you know, just like right in my face. A lot of people are just kind of like, man, do you ever think about playing something slow, or like, why don't you play more classical music, or like, you know, I really liked your work with Crooked Still, or they want me to play more instrumental, serious, like bow tie, like formal music of some kind, because they see that perhaps I have the skill to do so. And there I am just like following my own muse into the wilderness wherever it goes. And I don't care, because the pursuit of that is the most exciting thing to me. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that. But I mean, a lot of people are like, man, I didn't know what the hell you were saying, but I was really feeling it.
Yeah.
You know,
speaking of shows.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned you have some other Colorado dates.
Yeah. I think it's all up on my Instagram. I made a flyer. You know, if people want to see where I'm playing, they can just go to my Instagram at Rushadicus. That's R-U-S-H-A-D-I-C-U-S.
Well, thank you, Rashad.
Tharnox Maximus, it was a very delightful time to be on your radio show, and I'm excited for these vibrations to go out into the airwaves and thristle upon people's unsuspecting ears.
Do you have one more song you want to take us out on?
I was going to play something fast, I guess. And in my own language, where the chorus is a list, it says Agrimork, Benisoth, Griminix, Fabdehoth, Sperminoth, Gramuna, Ilguox, Hactojar.
Machu fi, amno di, amno icti, greek degree, couple bia, ento sa, ento bunti, funti fa, oof, eek, mutra me, clarfo, hecking, who just be, buel, vath, unglo, mark, vempo, gripni, into bark, agrimork, benisoth, griminix, fabdehoth, sperminoth, gramuna, ilguox, hactojaw. Phil, Strith, Ipno, Bite, Crumping, Bumping, Glip, No, Lie, Yar, Eth, Vando, Stay, Funto, Dunto, Dip, No, Day, Gow, Gow, Crag, Now, Hag, Nip, 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 Vow, Erk, No, Saw, Pinto, Ha, Pinto, Into, Grinto, Gra, Agrimork, Benisoth, Griminix, Fabdehoth, Sperminoth, Gramuna, Ilguox, Hactojaw. Yark, fox, hymnothox, porkin, organ, sorkin, socks, blight, fart, fepto, heart, fepto, epto, grecto, gri, machu vi, amno di, amno icti, greek to be, gumpo bia, ento sta, ento bunti, bunti, va, here, Mark. Benisoth, Griminix, Fabdehoth, Sperminoth, Gramuna, Ilguox, Hactojaw.
You've been listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Corey Stanton. Be sure to check out kvnf.org for direct links to Rashad's Bandcamp and YouTube. Thanks for listening.